Well, as we talked about, of course, tomorrow is Mother's Day. And quite frankly, without our moms, none of us would be here. None of us would be here. So tonight, rightfully so, we place our study through the book of Romans on the back burner because we want to celebrate mothers. But not only biological mothers, as Shanda highlighted, all women. Mothers and adopted mothers, spiritual mothers, substitute mothers, the ladies that are here, the ladies watching online. They all deserve, you all deserved to be celebrated on this special occasion. You've cared for us, you've prayed for us, you've loved us, you helped raise our children. You modeled Christ for us. You've encouraged us, picked us up when we needed a boost. And these are just a few ways in which you've invested in the rest of us, helped shape the rest of us. You've made this place, Westbridge, more than a place of worship. For many of us, it's a second home. It's a family, a place of joy and love. You know, women have played a prominent role in God's plan since the dawn of creation. From the very beginning of the biblical story, we see how critical women are. Genesis 2:20 states this. It says, "So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found." In the Christian Standard Bible, it says, "But for the man, no helper was found corresponding to him." And in the Holman Christian Standard Bible, it says, "No helper was found as his complement." As corresponding and complementary partners, Adam and Eve were given the responsibility straight from God to be stewards over his creation. Without woman, man would be alone and incomplete. Without woman, there'd be no mankind. And in order to have dominion over the earth, Adam and Eve needed to fill that earth. They couldn't do that without multiplying. Adam couldn't do that without Eve. Eve made Adam complete. Genesis 1:28 records this joint responsibility. It says, "God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" While men and women, we have different God-given roles and responsibilities, we are equal partners in God's economy. Both of us are essential components of his perfect creation. Adam and Eve were essential and a part of his perfect creation in the Garden of Eden. They each bear God's image in special and unique ways. Men and women are the pinnacle of God's creation. I read an article this week, which I printed for each of you, and hopefully you've got one. If not, there might be some. We won't go over this tonight, but just so you know, this resource lists the nearly 150 women who are mentioned by name in Scripture. Many of the names we've heard, many of the names we know, but I suspect there are new names for each of us. It's also, in some cases, it gives you a few words about some of these ladies. You know, it tells you maybe a daughter of certain so-and-so, or a wife of so-and-so, or this person or that person. And it was fascinating. So if you didn't get one, grab one on the table in the back. I didn't put this together. It came in an email. I get a devotional from Dr. David Jeremiah, and this happened to be in there. He's a gentleman I like to listen to and read from. And I hope you enjoy this. It's kind of cool. I've never seen this put together. And certainly there are many women not mentioned in the Bible by name who have influenced things. The Bible from cover to cover records the history of women who God used to bring about his plans, his purposes, and the gift of salvation through Jesus, who was born of a Virgin Mary. And it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. The impact and influence of women has remained to this very day and is essential going forward. The Bible not only gives accounts of influential women, It gives us examples of a godly wife, examples of godly mothers. And the Bible describes the character of a woman who is noble. One such passage can be found in Proverbs. So if you have your Bibles with you, now's a great time to take those out, along with your outline, so you can follow along and take notes. Now, the book of Proverbs can be found immediately after the book of Psalms. So if you open your Bible right in the middle, halfway, chances are very high you find yourself in Psalms somewhere. Psalms has 150 chapters, so just keep going till you get to Proverbs, which is right after that. The book of Proverbs contains individual discourses and sayings that have been put together into collections. There are 915 individual Proverbs. Didn't know that till I read something that told me the total. What I found fascinating as I looked and studied over what we would talk about this week is where this particular passage for tonight is found in relation to the rest of the book. Our passage of study, chapter 31, if you want to turn there in Proverbs, chapter 31, it's the final set of collected Proverbs. It's the last thing that they put together. In this chapter, the first 9 verses of Proverbs chapter 31, we're introduced to a man named Lemuel. Little is really known about him except he's a king. In this passage, he gets instruction from his mother. And she warns him about dangers related to women and adultery and drunkenness and alcoholism. She reminds him to champion justice. Mom's giving great advice. But the passage we're going to talk about is the next section, the last section, verses 10 through 31. In this passage, we find an acrostic poem that phrases the ideal wife. Each of the 22 verses begins with a consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, you and I would have no idea, because we don't read the Hebrew Bible. Our English doesn't do that, but that's why they call it acrostic poem, because the person who put this together, each verse is a different letter of the alphabet. The virtues of a noble wife we find in this passage are, in fact, virtues that are touted throughout the entire book of Proverbs. Qualities that lead to honor and praise, success, personal dignity, worth, and the enjoyment of life. Qualities of not just a godly wife, but a godly woman that all of us can learn from. Qualities, as we discuss them, that I've seen modeled by women in this church. So let's dive right in to this last section and learn about just a few of the virtues discussed here. So again, Proverbs 31, I'm going to start reading in verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. The first character quality I would like to draw attention to is that of the wife described in verse 12. The kind of woman who is an asset. One way the dictionary defines this word, an asset, is a useful or valuable thing, person, or quality. In this passage, most certainly, the writer is commending the value of this woman. The woman is an asset to her husband. The Bible indicates there is good that comes to him that can directly be attributed to her. This woman supports and encourages him, and she's faithful in helping all the days of her life. You know, I wouldn't be standing here today if not for certain women in my life. My mother, my sisters, certain teachers I had in grade school and high school, from the two colleges I attended, bosses and colleagues throughout my corporate career, female friends, and the ladies of this church. But the woman who's had the greatest impact and been the greatest asset in my life is my wife, Shanda. So much good has come into my life because of her. Our two amazing children, which she raised, being able to stay home. And honestly, through our 33 and a half year marriage, how she has raised me. I needed it. She helped me better understand what it means to be the husband she deserves. And a better father, more godly father. It was Shanda, actually, who first encouraged me to consider going back to college and getting a Bible degree. And this was years before the chain of events led to me unexpectedly early retiring from my corporate career. No doubt each of you could make a list of the women who've made a lasting impact in your life. I would venture to say that some of you, if you would write those names down, if you made that list, some of the ladies that you would put on your list are women in this room right now, or down teaching Kids Bridge right now. Ladies play a vital role here at Westbridge in the mission God has given us, and it hasn't gone unnoticed, especially by God. You know, here at Westbridge, most ministry areas are led by ladies. Laptop, worship teams, outreach, our website, the cleaning team, the design and decoration team, drama, arts, children's ministry, our women's group, our Sisterhood of Faith, and other groups that I forget. And on top of that, every ministry area has women who actively are a part of those teams, volunteering their time, lending their talents, serving in every team we have, faithfully with the heart of Christ. Beyond this, most special events, movie nights, arts and crafts, game nights, our Blue Bag Outreach, the Warren County Fair, they all can be attributed to these God-given assets to Westbridge Community Church. Frankly speaking, Saturday nights here at the Bridge would be impossible. Westbridge would not be Westbridge without Westbridge women. For that, we thank you. We thank you for leading, for being the example. We thank you for making yourself available and being God's asset to the rest of us. You know, there's another thing noteworthy about assets. Assets not only have value, but they also grow in value over time when they're properly invested. For example, we all know that saving money is important. Behind me is an illustration of how saving small amounts add up over time. How saving $20 a week, which may seem like a small amount, may not seem like much, it equates to about $1,000 a year. But look what happens over time if you save $20 a week. If you did that in real dollars across 40 years, then you would actually triple your money at 5% interest. You're probably going to get 5% interest on your money from somewhere over 40 years as an average. You're probably going to get 10 too, but we'll be conservative. If you did that same $20 at 10% interest, it would be 12 times the value. So you will have invested basically $40,000 to get $500,000 in real dollars, all because you put $20 a week away. That's a couple of trips to the coffee shop or skipping a fast food run. You know, in our passage, we see the woman investing her talents and her time to provide for herself and her family. That investment paid immense dividends. The Bible says she brings him good all the days of her life. So how can all of us here, how can you and I take this quality of being an asset and apply it to our lives going forward? The takeaway is this. You and I need to invest to increase our worth. We are all assets. At least we should be. So where are you investing your time, your talents, and your treasure? Young people, are you an asset to your family? Do you happily help out around the house? And for all of us, do the people we spend time with, our friends, our coworkers, do they consider us an asset? Someone who makes things better? Someone who brings their best to the table? A friend that can be counted on? A worker who not only does their job well, but wants to learn more, wants to do more, contribute more, and wants to help the people around them be as successful? The more we learn, the more we grow, the more value we have. It's the same for God's economy. The more you study the Bible, the more you invest in your relationship with Him, the greater asset you become for God, so that He could use in His kingdom plan. And just what can be the result of this kind of attitude, this kind of contribution? Well, Proverbs indicates that person brings with them good all the days of their life. So far in this passage, we've unpacked the character trait of being an asset. Let's get back to the passage and look at another virtue of the woman described in Proverbs, picking up at verse 13. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindles with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linens and garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. You know, in these verses, we see just how much of an asset this woman is, this woman of virtue. She's an eager worker, we're told in verse 13. And the subsequent verses not only illustrate her attitude, but her strong work ethic. She provides for her family. She works vigorously. Examples are given in how she provides, like making sure there's food on the table, sure her family has clothes and protects them. These verses also indicate another characteristic of a woman of virtue, which is one that all of us should aspire to embody. Someone who is selfless and generous. Someone who is selfless and generous. Verse 20 states, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. The woman in this passage is an asset who sells things for profit to provide for her family. But notice she also gives to the poor and the needy. Given verse 19 speaks of the cloth she makes, verse 20 quite possibly refers to her giving the cloth that she has made, perhaps even the clothes on her back, to those who have little or none. Many years ago, my daughter and some of her friends were participating in a little bit of fun as they decorated the trees on the property at one of our neighbors with some toilet paper on the eve of October 30th. It had rained quite a bit that day, so the grass was wet. The ground was muddy in a number of different places, and needless to say, most of the girls participating in this adventure came back with muddy shoes. While trying to clean their shoes, one girl was particularly upset. She told Miss Shanda those were her only pair of shoes. Her parents didn't have the money to get her another pair. She would have to clean them as best as she could, but those are the shoes she would have to wear to everything. What did Shanda do? She gave that young lady a brand new pair of tennis shoes that just so happened to be her exact size. Shoes that I had recently purchased for myself at a buy one, get another one free sail. Or quite incredible how God brought this whole thing about. He provided the means and the opportunity for generosity and selflessness, and Shanda didn't hesitate. And neither have the women at Westbridge. At the beginning of the COVID pandemic, a number of women banded together to launch an entire mask ministry. The ladies also crocheted these ear protectors and extenders so that the masks would fit more comfortably, so they didn't stretch and strain and cut on the earlobes. An entire ministry came about because of selfless generosity of Westbridge women. Being selfless and generous are character traits found in Scripture from cover to cover. It's how Jesus conducted himself throughout his life, how he labored for humanity throughout his ministry. He's our example, and we're called to imitate him. Paul, in his letter to the Galatian church, he speaks to the importance of believers using the freedom, you and I, the freedom we have in Jesus, to live selflessly and generously. He says this in Galatians 5, 13 and 14. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. We love our neighbor as ourselves when we embody this second character quality. Let's put it in the form of a takeaway, something we can use to remember to apply it. Because when the opportunity knocks to be selfish and generous, let's go the extra mile. Selflessness and generosity require you and I to put others before ourselves. It invites us to act when we see a need. Whether that need to be to do something or perform a task, commit some time to help others, or through some form of giving, whether it's a possession, even financial help with no expectations in return. It could be driving someone to an appointment, picking them up at the airport. It could be making them a meal, cutting your neighbor's grass, waiting at the entrance of a restaurant and a store for a very long line of people so you can hold that door. Buying breakfast for a veteran sitting next to you at the breakfast table. Giving someone your warm coat, which I have seen done in this building. Somebody came and didn't have a good coat and they left with someone else's coat that night. Or giving generously in order to build a strong, beautiful footbridge so that women leaning on Jesus in their journey would break free from addiction. And the people who would volunteer could walk safely to and from. Every day, we're presented with a chance to perform acts of kindness, extend the love of Jesus to the world around us, small, medium, and sometimes bigger than medium. This week, look for those opportunities to go the extra mile, to do just one more thing that you wouldn't have done had you not thought about what God shares tonight. Whether it's at home or at school or work or here at Westbridge, take a step to be generous. Take a step to be selfless, to put others first. I know there's going to be circumstances. There's going to be situations where you might not be able to physically help them. You might not be able to financially help them, but there's still something you can do. You can pray for that person. Sometimes the best things we can do for people is to just be a friend. Someone who takes time to listen. Someone who calls, says, how you doing? I haven't seen you in a while. Put others first. And I'm convinced you're going to be blessed. Because that's what the Bible says will happen. I can also tell you the more that you give, the more you'll want to give. Because you'll realize you're blessed more by giving than you are by receiving. There's so much in this passage that we can learn from and apply in our lives. Too much to cover in one night, quite frankly. So let's read the rest of the passage because I want to focus on just one more character quality. Verse 25 through 28. She is clothed with dignity and strength. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. The last character quality from this passage we'll look at tonight is wise living. Wise living. Proverbs is one of the wisdom books of the Bible. That's the genre of literature that it is. It tells us how we can live successful lives here, now, while we're on earth. A proverb is a short poetic sentence conveying wisdom in a concise and memorable form. Proverbs are typically based on experience and observation, and they're written in a way that causes you and I to reflect on what we've heard. Biblical proverbs, they're experiences of divinely inspired wisdom. Remember, everything in the Bible, God inspired to be written down. Biblical proverbs teach us moral values, principles of practical living, and they warn us against destructive and wrong choices. In the beginning of this book, we read something very important in chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And this statement seems to go hand in hand with what many people feel is the key verse for the entire book. Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." While knowledge and understanding involves the accumulation of information, wisdom is applying that knowledge to enact change in our lives. We should never be content with just learning the truth, learning information. We've got to be determined to live it out in the way we think, the way we speak, the way we go about our daily lives. Wisdom literature teaches us not only to make good choices in life, it shows us the choices that are godly choices. Biblical wisdom is skill for living. It's faith that works, and it speaks to topics of human conduct, character formation. And while we find a great source of wisdom in Proverbs, as you and I know, the entire Bible is God's word. Its pages are his wisdom. It's what he wrote down that he wants us to know as he reveals himself, his ways, his purpose. It's the ultimate source of truth and therefore the source of wisdom. James writes this in James 1:5. He says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives it generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." He also declares in James 3:17 and 18, "Wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." Matthew records the final parable in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount of the wise and foolish builder in his gospel. You can find this in chapter 7, verse 24 through 29. Verse 24, Jesus starts that whole parable, his last teaching in that section, by declaring, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." So applying this final takeaway of wise living requires that you and I build our life on the bedrock of Jesus. Doing so, building our life on the bedrock of Jesus, is not an occasional practice. It's not a one-time thing. Building our lives on the bedrock of Jesus, that should be the habit of our life. Reading and applying the knowledge and the wisdom of the Bible will help you and I become better individuals, better mothers, better fathers, better spouses, better friends, better students, better workers, better fill in the blank. continuing to pray, continuing to read our Bibles will have a positive effect on every area of our life. How we handle ourselves, how we speak to others, our character and conduct will be rooted in the bedrock of God's word, his perfect wisdom. You know the secret behind the virtuous woman in tonight's passage? We see it in verse 30. It's her godly character. And for that, in verse 31, we're told she was honored and praised. Praised by her husband and praised by others. Those two verses say this: charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. So as tonight's message ends and the worship team prepares to come forward in one song, I know, I confidently speak for everyone here by praising and thanking God for bringing each of the ladies here and online to us. We love you greatly. After tonight's service, on your way out, we've prepared a small gift for every woman here. It doesn't matter if tonight's your first night or your 500th night with us. Accept this token of gratitude as appreciation from your Westbridge family to acknowledge just how special you are, not only to God, but to us as well. So there's a bag in the back that we'll make sure you get. And there's also a handmade flower that my mother made for each of you that, if you want to, you can wear tomorrow as you're celebrated by those around you as a badge of honor. We pray that God blesses you abundantly in your life for the blessing that you are around us. You know, one day we will walk with Jesus. One day we will be surrounded by his presence and glory. But thank goodness he's given us you until that time. From the day we go into heaven, we're going to worship him. But until that day, we have an assignment. And that assignment is to be godly men and women. To have the character that we see in this passage, that we see modeled by people around us. To be individuals who base all they say on the solid rock of God's word. To be people who are assets to the world around us. To be people who live selflessly and generously. So if you're able, would you stand as we sing, "I Can Only Imagine"?